Well, what makes God so good? What does it mean to live in the goodness of God? That's what we want to explore this morning as our Easter theme is goodness. You may have a seat, and we want to welcome you here once again. We are so, so happy that you're here to celebrate with us, and we're going to invite you on a little journey this morning with the help of some music to find goodness, to explore what it means. Goodness. And of course, our first question is exactly that, which is, what is goodness? Goodness is possessing the quality of being good or being in a state of good or associated with acts of good and therefore possessing goodness. You know, just as kindness is associated with being kind or holiness with being holy or fitness with doing things that are fit. Gentleness with being gentle. It's the noun form of a verb, and so think of it as doing something so much repeatedly that you're now synonymous with it. You embody it. You become it. So if so far in 2024, one time I went to the gym and went for a jog on January 2nd, does that make me the embodiment of fitness? Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. Or if you often get in heated arguments with your spouse and you constantly respond harshly, I know that doesn't happen in here, but it happens out there in the world, and then one time out of 100 you gently respond to a harsh word, does your spouse immediately conclude, you know, you are the epitome of gentleness? No. But do it 100 out of 100 times, maybe, perhaps. And so goodness reflects the idea that someone has been so consistently good, so full of good acts, evidence of good, that we elevate their status from just being good sometimes to embodying goodness, just so full of the quality of good. But is anyone or anything or any group or any society really so good that goodness can accurately be their description? Well, the Bible's pretty realistic and not all that hopeful on the answer to that question. In fact, it says in Romans chapter 3, verse 12, that there is no one who does good, and the implication is always or consistently, not even one. Further complicating this situation is that, you know, because God is holiness, meaning perpetually in a state of being holy and perfect without any wrong, evil, darkness, fully pure, that means the only way we can ever meet God's definition of goodness is to also be perfect. So this leaves us in an impossible situation. God demands absolute goodness for us to dwell in God's presence, but none of us can claim that goodness. So is there any hope? Is anything or anyone truly good? Can be called the embodiment or definition of goodness? What is goodness? There's only one answer, one way to picture goodness. There is only one who is truly good, and it's a person, and his name is Jesus. So what is goodness? It's a person, and only one person, Jesus. But that still leaves the question, how can we obtain this goodness? If absolute goodness, full purity is the requirement to dwell fully with God, how is it possible? Well, in case you're unfamiliar with the story, Jesus came to earth as God in the flesh, and he lived the life of goodness that we could never live. He was consistently good to the poor, the oppressed, the outcast, the rich and poor, men and women, the haves and have-nots, the abled and disabled. He played no favorites. And by living that perfect life and then dying on the cross for our punishment for sin and separation from God that we deserve for our lack of goodness, and then rising again on the third day to show that he had conquered death once and for all. Because of all that, and yes, there's much more to it, but because of his life, death, and resurrection, the goodness of Jesus is extended to us in grace, meaning something we don't deserve and haven't earned. See, we can't and never will be good enough on our own. A lot of us probably feel like the Apostle Paul when he said in Romans chapter 7, "For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death?" Well, there's only one answer. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, Paul understood his inability to be good left him only with one hope, the goodness of Christ. How can you have goodness? How can we live in the realm of goodness where there is absolutely nothing but good found in us? Well, there is only one way, and one way only. It's through the goodness of Jesus. See, what many here have discovered is that our own attempts at goodness will never be enough. They will always fall short. The definition of a Christian is not someone who is a good person. The definition of a Christian is someone who is a forgiven person. The standard for goodness is not some other person, it's not some guru or teacher or pastor, it's not found within ourselves, it's not our own definitions that we create based on what we think is good and right. We're not good because we do nice things, because we reuse and recycle, give to the food bank, protect wildlife. Those are all arbitrary and potentially dangerous definitions of goodness that can cause us to trust in ourselves. God's standard of goodness is perfection. That's the only thing God's holiness can tolerate, and all our efforts to meet that standard fall short. But the good news of goodness is this: despite our constant struggles and difficulties, failed attempts at goodness, we don't have to try to be good. Because we put all our hope and trust not in our own goodness, but in the goodness of Jesus, which is the only thing that closes the gap between our sin and God's holiness. It's the goodness of Jesus. And the goodness of Jesus was and is so good that he voluntarily, undeservedly took our punishment on the cross for our sins. So how can we obtain goodness? Well, there's only one way: to trust in the goodness of Jesus. And this is why the good news of the gospel is such a relief. It's not dependent on us and our goodness, but simply resting in the goodness of Jesus and being satisfied that he is all we need. So what is goodness? It's a person. Jesus. How can I obtain goodness? By trusting in the goodness of Jesus. And the last question as you're seated is, how do I live in goodness forever? The answer is both easy and hard, and it is this: stop trusting in yourself. Stop measuring your goodness by your own or someone else's standards, and start trusting in the goodness of Jesus. What does it mean or look like to trust in that goodness? Well, it means in everyday relationship with God and committing and surrendering our lives to God and God's plan. In Psalm 116, verse 12, the psalmist says, "What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me?" And the answer is that we give to him our lives. But in order to live in God's goodness and know God as good, we have to trust and believe in his goodness. And I know that's harder for some than others. For some, due to things that have happened to us, experiences in life, we might find it hard to believe that God is good. It sounds scary to trust God with our future when our past has been so rough, so full of heartache, so lacking in goodness. But I want you to know that God has good plans for you if you'll trust in the Lord Jesus. Does that mean everything in life is going to go smoothly or get better just because we trust in Jesus? No, in fact, the Bible tells us that following Jesus can actually be a little harder for those who do, because it actually demands something from us. But if you've tasted and seen the goodness of Jesus, then nothing compares to that life. What is it like to live in the goodness of God? Well, several thousand years ago, the psalmist David, who had a lot of his own ups and downs and struggles in life, said this, "Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." If you know Psalm 23, you know it talks about walking through the valley of the shadow of death. It talks about the hard moments and tough times, but it has an unwavering faith that God's goodness will prevail. In fact, eventually is the one thing that will remain forever. There's going to be dry deserts in life. There's going to be lush gardens, and there's not always a rhyme or reason for when, where, and why we experience both. But no matter what, we can be confident that surely God's goodness and love will follow us every step of the way and all the way into eternity, that He has good plans for us. The question is, will you invite goodness, which is a person, Jesus, to follow you, to walk with you all the days of your life? The Bible says this, that if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You will dwell in the goodness of Jesus forever. So I'm going to ask us to take a moment to bow our heads, to close our eyes. I realize this might be new for some of you, but there is a good God here who loves you, is smiling over you, saying, "You don't have to come up with plans to show me that you are good. I am goodness for you." Maybe you've spent your whole life thinking of yourself as no good. You've been told you are no good, not good enough. And I have such good news for you. The God who loves you and made you is saying, "You don't have to be good enough. You don't have to measure up. You simply need to trust in my goodness and rest in my goodness all the days of your life, and I will become goodness for you." Today can be the day that you enter into goodness forever through Jesus, where your eternity can change from darkness and separation from God forever into goodness and eternal dwelling with God. And so in just a moment, I'm going to ask if you want to receive that gift today. And you have to start somewhere. This is just a sign. It's not for any other reason except that it's important to acknowledge outwardly what happens to us inwardly. That's why we do baptisms like you saw this morning. It helps make it more real to us, to stick, to cement that moment in our life. So if you'd like to do that in a second, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand up, not to me, but to God. No one is saying some gesture is required to receive God's gift of goodness. It's nothing magical. There's no pressure here to do so. It's just that I know it might help some of you mark this as a milestone day in your life, and we'd like to just celebrate that with you. Maybe you once did this but have lost your way, forgot about the goodness of Jesus, and you feel this Easter it's important to recommit yourself, to come back to Jesus in this moment. So right now, if you're saying, "I want to receive the goodness of Jesus offered to me through the life He lived, the death He died for me, and the grave He conquered for me," would you just lift your hand to heaven right now? We're all here to support you, to cheer you on. Amen. The goodness and grace of God is open and available to anyone who humbles themselves and throws themselves upon God's mercy. You can put your hands down. Thank you so much for trusting in Jesus and in Jesus alone. Let's give these people a hand. Let's welcome them into God's goodness, into the forever family of God. It's a family that lasts forever and ever, for all eternity, and we couldn't be more excited. where we're going to sing a song proclaiming the good plans God has for all of those who trust in Him, for those who have trusted in Him for the first time, for those who have been trusting Him their whole lives. And then we want to leave you with some last thoughts and a gift as you leave this morning. But first, we're going to declare God's good plans for us.